Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, Tony, in your absence, you know, we've been talking a lot about the Kicker Arena Cross Series. A lot of good news there, and I think Kicker was in the right place at the right time. It's not like they're starting from scratch. That's a big part of it. So nobody really had to take a breath to make that jump.
I have an opinion about that.
Would you please give it to me?
Sure. I think you're correct in some instances. I think the TV is good. I think it's the racing, they've kind of made the tracks more simple, which makes the racing better, and it makes a guy like Blake Wharton to come in and use it as a warm-up,
right?
You know, before he went to Minneapolis this weekend. And he actually is racing with guys that he normally would beat because the tracks are simpler, so it's not as many separators in the track. However, and I've only seen it. I haven't been to an event yet because we've been busy, but I look at all the pictures on Facebook and the TV and everything. There's nobody in the stands. Now, I'm not saying nobody, but they're not full. They're not full arenas. So they can't sustain. I don't know how they can sustain. It was what I should say. They got to get butts in the seat. And I don't know, you know, Feld coming off of kind of, maybe there's a little bit of a hangover from Feld's arena cross. You know, it failed miserably. Obviously, they dropped that, and now they're doing Supercross Futures, which I think is, you know, everybody's going to watch the race anyway, so they're there. I think that makes sense. There's a lot of markets, though, that arena cross isn't in, thanks to Feld. So, yes, I agree with you. Kicker could come in, but I don't know. Well, time will tell.
Is it sustainable? That's the big question. We will stay tuned for the response to that. Josh Strang joins us. Strang, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you guys?
Good. We're just kicking around the idea of what's going on with arena cross right now. Do you have an opinion on that? I know that's not something you race, but at the same time, motorcycles, you know, seems like you guys have an interest elsewhere in cycling and motorcycling.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, I'm happy that the arena cross was kind of done because I mean,
got you a ride, didn't it?
I got a new ride out of the deal. So,
yep.
I mean, I don't know. I heard you guys just talking about it. I mean, hopefully it can keep running and that sort of stuff. But, I mean, honestly, I don't really follow it all that much. From what I understand, there's a lot of races, or there used to be a lot of races. So it's a busy schedule and hard to keep up with. So, honestly, I'm not real sure.
You know, I was watching Instagram or Facebook or something, and it was a video of you this past weekend. Was it the opening round of the Full Gas Sprint Enduros?
Yeah, the first round was this past weekend.
How's it going with the new bike?
Man, new bike's sick.
Really?
It's really good. So, I mean, sure they pay me to say that, but I'm really happy with it. And I was, it took me a couple of days to get used to it after getting off the European bike, but I mean, I enjoyed it. It's a blast, and it's good to ride. For me, I think just the way I ride and how it handles and everything, it suits me down to the ground, so I'm pumped.
Josh, I haven't been on a Kawasaki in a while, but what I remember of them is there's a lot, the cockpit feels big, and it feels like they turn, they don't turn as tight as maybe a Honda or something else. I do have a new Husky that I've been riding, which I really like, but it's not that weird to me. I'm not at the level you are, obviously, but coming off the Honda, it's not that weird to me. I got on a Yamaha, which I own, the other day, and I was like, geez, this thing feels completely foreign. The Kawasaki, is it still kind of a big bike? I mean, obviously it's the same size, but does it feel bigger in the cockpit? You know, do you feel like you have a lot of room between, you know, the pegs and the seat and that kind of thing?
No, I would say you probably need to ride one and reevaluate. I think I haven't ridden a Honda, but I would say it's closer to a Honda now than it ever has been.
Really? That's the bike I prefer.
Yeah, and I rode Kawasaki from 96 all the way through to 2006. And then I rode one again in 2013. And I remember in 13, it was a little bit bigger motorcycle, especially through the woods and that sort of stuff. But after switching from the Euro bike to the Kawasaki this year, I mean, I honestly can't tell any difference. So, and the thing is skinny. Like, it's skinnier than last year's bike. And the only thing that I have to change is put a big tank, so it makes it a little bit bigger. Not wider, just sits up. The seat has to sit a little higher when we put the big tank on and, you know, that sort of stuff. But with the full gas, we get to run the small tank, and man, the thing is so little. It's so little and nice. It is really good to ride.
How'd you finish at the full gas? I knew you won one of the tests, but did you get second overall? Is that what it was?
Yeah, so the full gas, so it's a two-day event, and they pay points for both days, which is kind of cool. So it's almost like a two-round. Well, let's just call it a two-moto format. So Saturday is one moto, Sunday is second moto. And so Saturday I started off a little slow, and I ended up fourth for the day. So I was however many seconds back. And then Sunday I ended up winning the day on time, and that moved me up to second overall for the weekend. So, I mean overall for a first race on the new the Babbitt Kawasaki team, it was perfect. So there's a couple things we can work on, but as far as the bike goes, the whole team came down and everything, and it was everyone got along good. It was, for us, it was perfect.
Fred Andrews is helping with that program, right?
Yeah, so Denny Bartz, and then Fred Andrews is helping as well. Joey Mao, he's my mechanic, so he's been wrenching for years, man. I couldn't tell you when he started, but he's got stories all the way back from Wyndham and all those boys back in the motocross, supercross days. So we got a good team going, and I have a teammate, Jordan Ashburn, as well. So, it's good. I'm really happy, and I don't know what you say. Let's just say the grass is greener on the other side.
Do you know why they say that? And there, it is true, because as you're on one side of the fence looking, you're seeing the broad side of the grass. If you're standing right above that same piece of grass looking down, you see more dirt. I saw this on, like, the Discovery Channel. I went, what? You know what? It's true.
You learn so much on the show, Josh, every time you come on.
We could probably stop the show right here.
Makes sense why when I stand on my back porch, my backyard looks green, but actually when I walk out in the middle of it, all I do see is dirt and weed.
Yeah. What kind of weed?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably...
What kind of weeds? I don't even know.
Okay, all right.
I don't mind. As long as it's green and I can mow it in the summertime, I'm happy.
10-4.
I love this. You know, there is a difference between mown grass, the smell, and weeds, the smell. And the better the neighborhoods, the less weeds I was smelling, and it was more grass.
I got more.
I kind of miss it.
I got both at my racetrack.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely tell when we're mowing which side of the track we're on, because one side's stuff I planted and the other side's stuff
garbage.
Yep.
Yeah, all right.
I don't park down there. I park in the grass. Yeah, that deep carpet country over there on the north side. Josh, your season starts what, next weekend for GNCC?
So the GNCC start, we have one more weekend off, and then we start down at Big Box. So it's coming up pretty quick, and I think from what is it, end of February, so March, April, May, I think we only have one weekend off a month with, like, GNCC and full gas. And then I think May, I mean, up until the end of June, we don't have much time off. So it's going to be a busy schedule and be flat out, that's for sure.
What are your thoughts on going on the season? They changed it a couple of years ago, so you're not doing Florida straight away. But Big Buck is still pretty tough round, I would think. You good? You ready to go?
Yeah, I think I'm ready, man. It's like going off for the weekend. I mean, Caleb's doing that whole series now, so he's the best off-road guy. I wish I could say I was, but I'm just being honest. He's probably the best off-road guy in the country.
That's what we get from him every week.
Yeah.
Well, he sends email. Probably. He says, signed the best off-road guy in the country.
I'm a bad dude, he says.
So to have him racing it, the full gas is good. So, based off of speed-wise, I feel my speed is there, and then so I guess we'll find out at Big Buck how the fitness is and the training's been going, but I feel like it's I'm fairly prepared, and I mean, you just have to. You can never tell until we go racing. So I'm excited to get things rolling, and it should be good.
Josh, do you think there's PEDs involved in at your level in off-road racing? Do you think there's guys out there that are juicing or whatever you want to call it?
Talking performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
I know what PEDs are. I don't know. I really don't think there's enough money to be made. I don't think there's enough benefit. Like, if someone was going to be guaranteed if they took PEDs that they were going to win X amount of money, then there might be someone might be more likely to take it. But there just isn't enough money to be made at our series or in the off-road industry to where if you got busted, you would ever, like, recover from it. And I just don't think. Some people say that people do, and I really don't think it. I think it's more the off-road stuff is more hard work and, like just busting your ball to do the job.
But are there established fines?
No, that's the
problem.
I really don't think there's even a. I mean, it's. I don't even think it's in the rule book. It's not allowed, you know?
That's a problem.
I don't know the rules. But, yeah, but again...
I don't think it's...
CDs.
I got mixed emotions about that because you look at guys that have been ran out of our sport in Supercross for failing drug tests that the FIM has put in place, and then they never get a hearing, they never get nothing, and they're factory riders that just... You look at their Instagram or you go to Glen Helen on Thursday and you see they're out there spinning laps still, like, what, you know, and it's like, I don't know. That's a whole nother deal. I don't want to burn up all our time with you talking about that. But I was just curious what you thought about it, Josh.
I really don't think so. I mean, I'd be disappointed and upset if anyone was and if anyone like it, obviously, as you would be. But I really don't think so. I think. Like the people that are doing well, I think they're working hard and hopefully doing it honestly, which I'm
right.
sure everyone is.
Yeah. So you're on Pro Row, obviously. You're racing out of a brand new, or at least brand new, to Babbitt's rig. I've been seeing pictures of the setup because Fred or Denny or whoever it is putting them out there. Looks really good, man. You got to be pretty stoked, I would think. I mean, it's not like you don't deserve to be there because you're a one of the pillars in off-road in the United States, and you are the guy that's, you know, year in and year out, you've had a title or titles. Everybody knows you have the work ethic. You have the speed, it sounds like, which you always have. You got to be really excited about this season. I would believe I am for you.
I'm really excited. And I think we talked, not long after I'd done the deal with Kawasaki, It wasn't about money increases or anything. It was more about, like, for me, a change and a new group of people who are excited to have me come and race. And I mean it. And I think that's what's helped me already this preseason. I mean, there's people that are wanting me to do good, and they're excited for me to come and race for their team. And I think that's helped me already. And I mean, being happy at the races is half the battle, like, in getting results and that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I think my first NTC season was 2007. So I think I'm the oldest guy in the pro class, but I still feel like I can win races and definitely do podiums. So, I mean, until the younger kids come up and start beating me and taking away the results, I mean, I'm going to keep racing. I feel like I deserve it. And, I'm still having fun doing it. And I think the companies that support me, enjoy having me around. I'm low drama, and they can see I put in the work. And I think
that's it. You know what? That's really it. Low drama, good results, consistent. Don't rely on performance enhancing narcotics. No matter if you get them stateside or in Canada,
or Mexico maybe.
Well, that's a different kind. Whether. I'm just amazed sometimes to see what a guy will do to hang on to a career, or stem cells, for example. I've got a guy a fighter that has had both of his wrists broken and they would never completely heal, goes to Mexico, gets two shots in each wrist, 100% healed. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there
my sister had stem cells put in her knees, and she did a spin class with me tonight.
Is that right?
Yep.
I didn't know that. See, that's an perfect.
By the way, Josh, I got second in my spin class. She got 20th. Just saying.
That'll teach her. No, I'm just saying that's legal in many countries around the world, just not here yet. So I'm just wondering. You know, you can have your own stem cells banked.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of podcasts about that, and I'm interested. That stuff's interesting because I never knew any of that stuff existed. When
it's magic
talking about it. Yeah. It's crazy. The people that are on the podcast actually sound crazy, but the stuff seems to work.
Well, there are people who suffer from low bone density or, you know, low bone mass. And if they have it, and say in 10 years, 15 years, whatever, they, you know, it's like regenerate. It's like a fountain of youth almost.
You know what? I've been diagnosed with low brain mass.
I know. It's evident for most of us.
Hasn't.
I know.
I didn't even know about this until.
Okay. It's okay.
Yeah. But you know what, Josh? I just keep on chucking.
He really does.
Yeah, that's what we went. My wife and I took our little fella to a preschool to check him. I think we're gonna put him in preschool the end of this year or the start of the year or something like that. I don't know, Mum's Day Out or something like that. And I told my wife, I was like, I started kindergarten a year early, and I told her it's because I had so many brains. I said I'm not sure where they all went. They disappeared somewhere.
How old's your kid?
He'll be in August when school starts. He'll be like a year and 2 months or something. So I think this program we put him in, I think it's almost like a daycare, but you take him and they do activities and stuff.
Sure.
I'm not real sure.
Finger painting.
Teach him to be a nerd,
something like that.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to go to school at 1.5? What are you doing?
They
My
don't
kid's
know
four,
what they want to do.
You know, if your kid doesn't take his career seriously, his student career seriously, and if he's full of foolhardily and hopes and dreams of anything other than buckling down.
But, Daddy, I want to play with other children.
They don't even talk at 1.5. Not very well.
Well, that's the problem around your house. You need to start getting him to speak early.
All right. Josh, you're one of my favorite.
True story.
Fellas that races dirt bikes, and I wish you the best this year. Look forward to watching
you
put that cowie up on the top.
Yeah, that'll be, man, I'll be pumped. I think it's been 2016 since I won a GTC, so it's been a long time, and it'd be awesome to get a couple, and I mean, get more than a couple this year. It'd be really good.
Dude, who do you want to thank, sponsors-wise? Let's go.
Well, Babbitt, Kawasaki for that new bike, man. I'm not talking out my ass. I mean, the thing's unreal. So for sure that company as well. And then Monster Energy and then CD. Those boys are with me again this year. I think we're going on 10 years with that company. So it's
that's crazy.
Those guys are like family. Yeah, I get what I want, and I mean it's an awesome product too. So I mean everyone that helps out, and you guys have me on, man. I always love talking to you.
Well, we're going to bring that up. Since you're getting everything you want, perhaps you can ask for a little more and send it our way. Socks.
I could go for some Monster socks.
What?
Match my van that I haven't peeled the stickers off yet.
Oh, yeah.
I told you.
Turbo went out, Josh. You'd be lucky you didn't get that thing.
Oh, yeah.
On the way home from Baja this week, I was just cruising along at 20 mile an hour up the mountains. Took the northern route. Wish I hadn't.
Yeah.
I had a fairly new Ford. What was it? Expedition? It was an Expedition, and it shot right at the border of Missouri and Iowa. And who did I call? I called Tony. He got right in his truck, came down and got me, and we left the truck there.
That's how we roll.
That's it.
Leave that piece of junk.
Well, they fixed it.
Alongside
we went
the
back
road.
Down again.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, Josh, hey, it's always good to talk to you, bud. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
This portion of our show brought to you by Hicklin Power Sports. Look for them online in Grimes, Iowa, or as I said, online at HicklinPowerSports.com. More on the other side, wait in the wings. We got another cat, Evan Smith, waiting to talk to each and every one of you. This is Pit Pass. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Josh Hayes, AMA Superbike Champion. You're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean really know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.